Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is all about light. This is my good friend Matt Maruka. He is coming on the podcast to talk and teach us about light and its special frequencies. He's the founder and CEO of Ra Optics. This is a company that has taught me so much about the essential role that light plays in health. He develops really advanced light-based products. And it's been his own decade-long personal journey that led him to light. I love how he focuses on the fact that human beings require light. Your mitochondria are powered by light, and he has a profound interest in the nature of consciousness and existence itself. Matt spends his time traveling and teaching and working with top executives and celebrities, building the future of lighting for the world, and he also loves running and surfing, traveling for sure, singing and exploring the world. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you so much for having me. That's a quite the bio, actually. I love that my team sends that over. Yeah, it's great. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so glad to reconnect with you and speak.
I think it's amazing that you're so openly loving the light because I'm in an industry in a field where in medicine we talk all about sunscreen and prevention of being in the light too much and just avoidance of light. And I think that that leads us to give a negative connotation to, sunlight and all the various spectrums of it. But tell me a little bit about your philosophy on why light and sun are so important for humans.
Yeah, well, since we last spoke, I'm glad to share that I've learned a lot and my views have evolved quite a lot too. And I think that's how it should be, right? So, one of the biggest changes is that where before I was sort of under the spell of a limited body of research indicating the benefits of ultraviolet light, which there's actually quite a bit to be fair. But there is a group of biohackers, which I was very part of, that has kind of taken that information and said, oh, well, the World Health Organization says ultraviolet is a carcinogen. But then there's ample research also showing that ultraviolet light is beneficial. So this sort of niche group of biohackers has gone extreme based on you can't really overdo it, and more is better, and so on. And that's, of course, not true in almost any case. Now, it turns out the truth is somewhere in the middle. So the sun isn't completely a carcinogen like the World Health Organization is saying. In fact, not getting enough sunlight decreases vitamin D levels, and then that increases risks of cancer, for example. So it's definitely not that the sun is always bad, but it's definitely not that the sun is always good either.
Okay. All right. Well, let's switch gears. Now you're outdoors. I want to talk a little bit about how you've changed your thoughts on light. I know when I first met you, you were hanging out with some biohackers that were really like diving deep into really extreme light exposure. What are your thoughts these days?
Yeah, so on the one side, we have the World Health Organization saying that the sun causes cancer and we should avoid it completely. Now, on the other side, we have this, as you said, kind of more extreme biohacking perspective, which took the work of the heliotherapists, the doctors who used light to treat all sorts of diseases in the last century, they took it a bit too far. So those doctors were very meticulous. They were very measured and calculated in their sunlight exposure for these patients and their particular conditions. And they were very diligent about the way they applied this treatment as a therapy. Just like any therapy, you should be very diligent and careful. And so I was part of that extreme biohacker community, misinformed, unfortunately. And I began working with one of the top experts in the field named Dr. Alexander Wunsch. And he personally, over the first couple of years working together, just around since we last spoke and did an Instagram live, he took the time to explain to me why this idea that more sun is always better is simply just nonsense and not the reality, but why some sun exposure is good. And his work as a leading expert was actually sort of misconstrued to by some biohackers to say that you should get more sun, and that's just not the case. So essentially, the takeaway is that it's important to get morning sunlight to help set our body's rhythm. It's important to go outside throughout the day to allow our brain to register that it's daytime and to stay awake and produce all the hormones that we need and neurotransmitters. It's also important to sunbathe, but in a very measured and calculated way. What Dr. Wunsch recommends is the minimum dose around noontime, because at noontime you have the most UVB light, so you can make the most vitamin D in the shortest amount of overall sun duration of exposure. So essentially around midday between 10 and 2, let's say, you can be out in the sun depending on your skin tone and your tan status and a variety of other factors between, for example, 10 and 20 minutes and build a very healthy vitamin D level. And so that's sufficient. Now, if you can watch the sunset, that's also great for your rhythm. And that's a very moderate and balanced light diet. We don't need more than that in general. Some people might benefit from more. People with darker skin might benefit from an hour of sun because their skin is so much darker. So it takes longer for them to make vitamin D. So that would be kind of the overview of what I would consider a moderate approach to sunlight.
Got it. I think that's going to help people. You have the concept, which you call the light diet. That's your, what are the core principles of that, and how does it benefit people with their overall well-being?
Yeah, so the core principles of the light diet are some of the pieces I actually just spoke about. So the principle, the idea behind it is that our body evolved under the influence of light. So there are many factors driving evolution and organisms forming, but one of the most significant is sunlight, because sunlight powers pretty much all life on Earth. If you look from the bottom of the food chain up, from bacteria to even plants, in particular plants, effectively all life on Earth is powered in one form or another by light energy. There's chemical energy as well, but light energy has really come to predominate, and that's specifically sunlight energy. So our cells, we know this from ample research, our cells communicate with light. Our cells absorb different wavelengths of light, as you mentioned earlier in the In our conversation, the mitochondria are actually powered up by light, particularly red light and near infrared light, which have become very popular in your industry in particular in the past couple of years. And so these wavelengths are really good for our cells. They're kind of like food, but a different kind of food for our cells. And so the light diet basically says we want to have a healthy approach to our light exposure, which means, as I mentioned earlier, getting outside and getting morning sunlight to help set our body's rhythm and get it going into gear, producing the right hormones and the right neurotransmitters all at the right time. If we don't get morning sunlight, our brain actually never fully wakes up. And that's an issue for alertness and focus and mood and productivity and energy and even for sleep. Because if you don't activate the system and increase the amplitude of the daytime phase of the rhythm, it's really hard to actually wind down in the evening. So morning sunlight's a crucial part of the light diet. As I mentioned, getting outside and taking a sun bath, especially in spring and summer months, not overdoing it, but within reason, not slathering on these chemical sunscreens, which have been shown in many cases to cause or increase the risk of cancer due to certain chemicals. I personally will use a mineral-based sunscreen because these reflect the light without being broken down. The problem with chemical sunscreens is that they're not super efficient, so they actually end up degrading. And when they break apart under the influence of the light, they're absorbed into our bloodstream as these oxidizing, damaging chemicals, and that's not good. So, anyway, so a sun bath without sunscreen, just for a very moderate time, is a very beneficial thing people can do, but within moderation. And then basically watching the sunset, so allowing your brain to wind down. And to get in, there's a lot of other details. Going barefoot on the earth, I'm sure you've heard grounding is so popular now and it has so many benefits in anti-inflammatory, relaxation, improving the body's rhythm even. So going outside in nature and going barefoot is great. A big piece of the light diet also is eating with the sun, as I call it, which means not eating your biggest meal late at night, but rather eating your biggest meal around the middle of the day, around lunchtime, like many European cultures often do, and many cultures around the world. That's when our digestive power is the strongest, and when we're able to break down our food most efficiently and take the most minerals and useful products out of the food with the least amount of toxin buildup. So aligning our metabolism and our digestion with the sun, it already is. It's just aligning our habits with that reality. So those are some of the main principles of the light diet and simple things that pretty much anyone can do to improve their health based on the science of light.
I love that. And there is a huge focus in our industry on sunscreen and sun protection. And We do tell patients that 90% of their aging damage comes from ultraviolet. Is there a way to get the good spectrums of light without getting the bad UVA and UVB that can, give you the skin issues?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's where the recommendation from Dr. Wunsch comes in about getting midday sun for the maximum. So the range of light, which particularly has been linked to aging and reactive oxygen species buildup, which over time leads to aging in cells, that's UVA in particular. That's the biggest concern. Whereas UVB can also, of course, have issues in excess. It can cause a sunburn, an acute, basically overdose of sun, reactive oxygen species intoxication. But UVB also at the right dose helps us make vitamin D. So it's really a kind of a double-edged sword. The recommendation is to get our sunbathing in the middle of the day, because when you sunbathe around midday, you can get the most amount of UVB and in the shortest amount of time with relatively less UVA. That's really the best way to get the most beneficial parts of the sun without maximizing or overdoing the parts which are harmful. So shorter duration of sunbath, but around the middle of the day. Now, the other thing people can do, there's a couple others, but two other things actually people can do is to get sun in the early morning and the late afternoon, because there's very little UVA and UVB then, and you're getting a lot of the benefits of the longer wavelength light, which is deep red and near infrared. Now, the issue is, if you only go out in the sun in the early morning and late evening, you're not never going to get vitamin D. So you do need to go and get vitamin D at some point in the day. And the best time to do that, as I've said, is in the middle of the day, because you can get the most amount of vitamin D in the least amount of time in the middle of the day. So you can keep your exposure short. And then another way to answer your question of other ways to get this light without, the more harmful short wavelengths is something like red light therapy. So people can use something like red light therapy, also known as photobiomodulation, a high quality red light therapy device to charge their cells up with the healing longer wavelengths of light that are good for the mitochondria, without having the presence of these shorter wavelengths of light. So those are some of the things people can do to take advantage of the sun, getting more of the good stuff and not overdoing it on the more harmful part of the light spectrum.
I was reading some research about how non-coherent, kind of not near infrared radiation can actually be protective to human dermal fibroblasts. So this is kind of very super specific, but I just happened to see this in my inbox last night, and I was like so fascinated because it talks about these near infrared radiation spectrums that are essential, that when we break up light and filter out certain spectrums of the light, we're actually subtracting that near infrared, which is protective to human cells. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing point. I'm glad you bring that up. So the part of the light spectrum which is generally found to be the most healing and regenerative for our cells is this near infrared range. So it's the opposite side of the spectrum from the more deleterious ultraviolet. And this near infrared light has been shown to increase energy production in cells. It increases water metabolism. In other words, it jiggles water molecules in the capillaries, for example, allowing for better exchange of nutrients across membranes and better detoxification and all these types of things. So it's literally increasing metabolic processes just by jiggling water. It has so many amazing effects. And this is why I mentioned red light therapy. So anyone could take advantage of red light therapy and get these beneficial wavelengths of near infrared light without, having to go and expose themselves to sunlight. With that said, I still recommend people expose themselves to morning sunlight for a strong circadian rhythm stimulus, because near infrared doesn't have that effect. It has different effects. Near infrared doesn't affect and set your body's rhythm. That's the blue light from the sun. I still recommend people go out and get morning sunlight and ideally evening sunlight, and even just a very calculated dose of midday sun. For people getting midday sun, you can even start with 2 or 3 minutes and build that up to 5 or 10. You don't want to sunburn. You want to be really targeted. We don't want to go out and lay out for 2, 3, 4 hours a day. that's where you're going to see potentially skin aging, skin damage over time, and in particular, sunburns. You know, that's an acute problem. So anyway, that near-infrared light is absolutely critical. And to your point about chopping up the light spectra, in the modern world, unfortunately, the regulators and politicians and government scientists in the industry as well have basically gotten this idea that light is only relevant for vision. In other words, it's only relevant for helping us to see. And so any light that we don't see that doesn't contribute to visual processes is wasted electricity. And so all the shift to compact fluorescence first and now LED lighting is based on this mistaken philosophy that that's the only function of light. Well, that excludes the near infrared light, which is around 40% of the sunlight spectrum, and which has these healing and regenerative and protective effects for both our eyes and our skin. And so actually, as a result, we've created this really hazardous indoor environment where even though the relative intensity of an indoor LED is much lower than the intensity of sunlight, because there's zero near infrared present balancing out this short wavelength blue light. So indoor lights don't have ultraviolet, but they have a lot of short wavelength blue light, which acts similarly to ultraviolet. And over time, long exposures, which everyone now has these days, people are in their offices and at their homes and watching TV and on their screens for 10, 12, 14 hours a day, maybe even more. So everybody's getting exposed to a kind of light which is similar to UV, but a little bit slower acting. It's called HEVL. It's high energy visible light without any of the protective effects of near infrared, which is found in daylight and in the old incandescent style lamps, which also had way less of this HEVL. So the whole lighting industry's concept is completely flawed. It's saying, you know, invisible light has no contribution to, it doesn't have a contribution to vision, but they're basically saying the only thing that matters is what you see, which isn't true. They're arguing that you should use, you know, they're using more short wavelength blue light in order to increase visibility and increase the activation of people's circadian rhythms, but in a way that's really not coherent with nature. A great way to put it is when you're sitting indoors, one of the main functions of the circadian rhythm in the morning is to wake us up. And it does that by making cortisol. And cortisol, as you know, as a doctor, it's a glucocorticoid hormone. It helps move sugar into our muscles. The problem is when you're sitting all day in an office, you don't really need a lot of sugar in your muscles. You don't need that much cortisol as, you know, therefore. So this indoor, it's called human-centric lighting. It's not human-centric at all. It's a flawed concept, is that more blue light during the day is a good idea. But what happens as a result is they pump up people's cortisol when we don't need it. And for people who have high blood pressure, people who are stressed, which is everyone, it's actually kind of, there are serious contraindications to modern artificial light. But it's, even though it acts as a medical device, that's what human-centric lighting does. It affects a significant biological process. Nobody's talking about it or treating it as a medical intervention, which it is. So our concept is hormonally neutral lighting. We should have lighting which is hormonally neutral, meaning during the day it doesn't attempt to overstimulate the system, and in the evening it doesn't prevent the system from releasing melatonin and allowing the system to regenerate. And that's what we're working on as a company, is kind of hormonally neutral, high quality, healthy lighting.
I love that. Would that be like in the form of light bulbs
Yeah,
or?
light bulbs, LED strips, every kind of lighting you could imagine, portable
Wow.
light devices. It's coming along.
That's such a, those are all such important concepts that honestly we just don't even get taught in med school or anything. It's crazy how little we get taught. We get taught like one thing that was learned 30 years ago and it becomes the culture. And,
Yeah.
you know. I think I want to emphasize to the audience that when, if you live at sea level, the sunlight out there is 53% infrared light. That's the heat and the warmth and that delicious feeling of sitting in the sun that your body loves. And it's 40% visible light and only 3 to 5% ultraviolet. So the near infrared light in general makes up about 22% of the total spectrum. And so the study that I was reading was so interesting because it said that if you just expose these human dermal fibroblast cells, which are skin cells, to UVA light, it kills 45% of the cells. If they got treated with near infrared light first, as it happens in nature with sunrise first before the UV comes, only 15% of the cells dies.
That's an amazing study. That's an amazing
So
statistic.
amazing. And then with UVB, which is the bad UV that creates skin cancers, It killed 75% of the skin cells, but if it got the infrared light exposure first, 45%. So much better. So the infrared really protects your cells immediately, and that protection kind of is part of the full spectrum light. When you get filtered light, you are not getting that infrared protection. So I think
Yeah,
that's just
you
so
nailed
powerful.
it. Even through windows, unfortunately, windows now also filter out near infrared. So, quote unquote, natural light through a window is no longer natural. And that has to do with also energy efficiency because the more infrared that comes into the building, the warmer the air and the more air conditioning that needs to be used. So, it's all about saving electricity, but at the expense of human health. I think it's based on just a pure lack of awareness. I'd like to think that that's it. I really do. And so our purpose is to really educate about this significance of light and what people should be doing about it. And hopefully we get to a place where we have high quality because LED lighting by itself isn't bad. It's just that now they're using the cheapest, lowest quality, maximum visibility, maximum hormonal stimulation, but lowest quality, cheapest light, like junk food. It's junk light, as some say. And that needs to change. So there is a possibility where we have high quality LED light, which is great and even better than incandescent light in some ways because it can be tailored much more to not, we don't need to create so much heat, but we want to keep the near infrared. The far infrared we feel as heat. The near infrared we don't feel quite as much as heat, but it has these beneficial cellular effects. And so anyway, there's a future where this can all work and we hope to bring it to life and to light during my time and during our time.
Let's talk a little bit about mitochondria and light, because mitochondria are trending right now and people are really working on mitochondrial health. How does exposure to natural light influence your mitochondria and their energy level?
Yeah, so two main mechanisms would be one is the circadian rhythm. So by blue light from the sun activating our body's circadian rhythm, in other words, our body clock, light influences the activity of mitochondria. So, mitochondria's metabolic activity, in other words, the times when they're active producing ATP and energy, and then when they're in a resting state regenerating, is completely governed by our circadian rhythm. So, part of the time, part of the day when we're waking, mitochondria are active, burning food and creating ATP, in other words, useful cellular chemical energy. And then when it's dark outside, the brain releases melatonin, which reduces mitochondrial energy production and allows the mitochondria and cells to be healed again under the influence of melatonin. And so the circadian rhythm quite literally completely dictates the function and activity of mitochondria. And it's really important that we get daylight in the morning and throughout the day to keep our mitochondrial energy production up and keep our body awake. And then that we block blue light at night or just have an absence of blue light, which is what triggers the body's rhythm, in order to allow the brain to release melatonin naturally in the evening. So the circadian rhythm has a huge impact on mitochondria. It really completely drives mitochondrial function and energy production. And then the near infrared side, red and near infrared side of the spectrum, these increase the ability of mitochondria to produce energy. So when they're active, which is during the day when, of course, the sun is out and lots of near infrared and red light is present, this light basically acts as sort of a turbo boost to the mitochondria as if they were a car engine. So it increases their ability to produce energy considerably. It does this in many different ways, but the way I like to think of it is that this was what we evolved with naturally. So although the studies show increases in energy production, well, really, I think that's probably our baseline, what we evolved with and what we're designed to have. And the takeaway is just everyone should be getting outside more, getting into natural light, not overdoing it, but getting daylight on their skin, within reason, being outside in particular, because even in the shade, when you're outside, you're still getting near infrared light, it's still present in the environment compared to inside behind a window. So these are kind of the key points about mitochondria and how light influences them at a basic level and what we want to keep in mind. Getting outside and then blocking the light at night that disrupts our body's rhythm.
Now, you developed some blue light glasses, the Ra Optix, and your products differ from other blue light glasses out there on the market. How did you make them? more functional and encompass these light goals?
Yeah. So the first thing that comes to mind is that most of the blue light blocking glasses out there were just plain ugly, first and foremost. Now, that wasn't the
Yes,
reason I created
not
them, but they were just
fashionable.
exactly, they were unattractive. So, and they weren't high quality, they didn't feel good. So nobody was going to use them. That's one issue. The main issue actually, though, was that most of the blue light glasses also just didn't block the right wavelengths of light. So fundamentally, whether there were some that were slightly attractive, some that were really unattractive, generally the ones that were more functional were less attractive, and the ones that were more attractive were less functional. In other words, they didn't block the right wavelengths of light. And so I was kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I had nowhere to go when I learned about this information to get a high quality pair. I had to have mine custom made, actually. And I did at the time when I was like 16 and I first learned about all this stuff. This was about 10 years ago. So I ultimately, through the repeated requests of one influencer who I was trying to go on his podcast to just share all this information I was obsessed with, I said, you know what? Fine. Okay. I can make them for you, because I had read an article and I knew how to custom make my own for myself and my friends and stuff. And so that's what I did. And then I realized, wow, this could be a business, because I'd been looking for a business opportunity and, I was finishing school. So looks like somebody's
Cool.
calling me.
Who
So
is that?
anyway,
Who is the influencer
this was
podcast?
Luke Story.
Oh, I love him. I met him
Yeah,
a long time ago.
great guy, really great guy. So he was really interested in this, and I actually first I tried to connect him with the company doing this custom service, but I had learned how to do my own. So then I th finally thought, you know what, I can probably do this. And then he appreciated it. He still has that pair, from now almost 8 years ago. And I realized that this niche health and wellness community who is really interested in this information would probably appreciate having a product which they could use to, block the harmful wavelengths of light while also looking good and being functional. So to me, this was basically th this is the way it started, and that's really just how it's gone since the beginning. So we focused on blocking the right wavelengths of light based on the scientific research, which is huge. So we want to block during the day the wavelengths of light responsible for physical damage to the eye, and also for causing overstimulation of the hormonal system, as we discussed before, is the problem with modern artificial lights. So during the day, with our yellow daylight lenses, as we call them, that those are the two main risks: physical protection of the eye and protection from this overstimulation of the hormonal system, again, from these blue enriched LED light sources. Now, in the evening, the main concerns are both protecting the eye from physical damage, because the eyes are even more sensitive in the evening because the pupils get much wider, because it's generally darker, and the cells are filling with more and more pigments, which are more sensitive to light when it's dark in this case at nighttime. So we want physical protection, but the big concern at night, in addition to the eye, is melatonin, our body's rhythm, right? So it's so essential that the body be able to register that it's evening and release melatonin naturally in order to allow, as I mentioned earlier, our mitochondrial activity to reduce, so that the cells can then go in and heal under the influence of melatonin. And melatonin is the body's most important antioxidant, anti-aging, and anti-cancer molecule. And so these lenses, we call them sunset lenses, by blocking all this short wavelength light, as it's called in the technical literature, that's UVA, UVB, but also in particular blue and green light, because UVA and UVB aren't a concern at night, the sun's gone, but blue light and even green both have a fairly strong influence on our body's rhythm, particularly at night when they're not supposed to be there at all. So the lenses, the sunset lenses, kind of take that light out and make the whole spectrum look like fire or candlelight. So they really warm all the light up. And so when I walk around anywhere I go with these lenses, it kind of looks like, I think, an old world where everything would have been lit by candlelight. It's very pleasant once the eyes adapt. And so we focused on blocking the right wavelengths of light to have these, particularly in the direction of these desired biological effects and necessities, really, from a protective standpoint. And then we combine that with high quality, attractive frames made of top quality materials like Italian acetate and German steel. We developed this all with the world's leading expert in this field, who I mentioned earlier, Dr. Alexander Wunsch. And we continue to innovate on making really high quality and even higher quality, attractive and more attractive styles regularly. And we're working on some collaborations with some really, really cool celebrity folks. So it's been an amazing process as it's gone on. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm the best part for me is the reviews we get, because we get so many people saying, I mean, we've had people who were hooked on sleeping pills for a long, long time, 20 plus years, and our sunset lenses helped them to wean off. That's, a grown adult, of course. But we also had a child who was hooked on melatonin because they had had childhood cancer, and their parents learned that melatonin could be preventative or protective during the coronavirus pandemic. And they thought it might protect their child's immune system or something based on some evidence they saw. So they were dosing their child with melatonin, and then the kid was hooked. I mean, I think they were like a 4, a 5, or a 6 or 7 year old or something like this, maybe 7 or 8. Anyway. And then finally, they were able to wean them off with our sunset lenses. So it's a very powerful product, even though it appears kind of benign as a pair of sunglasses or just glasses, blue light protection glasses as a technical term. So anyway, that's what really excites me about our products and what we're doing. And I'm really happy every day that I can share this with the world, and team's growing, and it's just very exciting.
That's awesome. I'm so excited for you guys. I have a
Thank you.
suggestion. We need to make readers with the light because for those of us over 40, when your eyes start to change, I love your glasses and I want to wear them, and then I have to like put them on with my readers. And I'm like, I need to get lenses that are
Well,
really.
actually, we've introduced readers. We have readers now, so I'd love to get you a pair.
Oh, you're sweet. Yes, that would be great. So I'm like,
Yeah,
I need to wear
absolutely.
these, but I need to get my readers
We'll
on.
set it up immediately. The one thing we don't have yet are the progressive lenses with kind of both zones, distance and readers in one lens, but we're working on that as well because a lot of people want that. But we do offer single vision readers and single vision distance. So I would absolutely love to get you a pair of those as soon as possible.
Wow, you're too sweet. I re highly recommend them. I have been wearing them almost every night, and like I think that it's changed my sleeping habits so much. And I'm on the computer way too much till like 10 o'clock at night, midnight. So it's really critical. And there you are
Yeah.
wearing them. You guys can
Yeah,
see
here I have
that.
them. I've been in, I'm
They
fortunately,
look
I'm
great.
outdoors, as you can see, and there's so much near infrared in this environment around me. So the little bit of blue from the screen relative to the massive dose of near infrared outdoors becomes significantly less relevant for the reasons we discussed earlier. But if I were indoors behind the walls and the windows with nothing but this screen as my light source, I would have these on, and I do have these on all the time. And then after the sun sets, I'll put on my sunset lenses, which are a much deeper orange. I probably have them right here as well. And those are going to help protect my melatonin levels from the disruption caused by all these bright artificial lights. So these are my super stylish, cool sunset lenses. This is one of our collaborations with a
Yeah, those are super
influencer guys.
cool.
So
Very
yeah,
cute.
so
It's so important to have fashion and function because honestly, like it has to
completely agree.
integrate with your lifestyle and can't make you feel like you're totally dweeby when you're wearing them, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to me, at the end of the day, a lot of people wear colored lenses just for fashion now. So,
True.
but those aren't necessarily designed for a particular effect, and they don't have necessarily a particular effect. So to me, it's like, why can't we combine, as you said, science and the effects and fashion? Like, we totally can. And then people can be excited. I'm wearing this lens and this product, which is super excited. Like, I want people to want to wear it regardless of the effect, just because it's cool and it feels good and it looks good. And then there's this huge scientific biological effect. So that's exciting for me.
That's amazing. Well, let's wrap up by talking about your inner light concept. You mentioned the idea that we as humans are beings of light. And how does this affect you in terms of understanding of consciousness, spirituality, and just what's the significance of that being a being of light?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. So, I think it was an inevitable result of me going down this path into light that I would become interested in spirituality, because when you read these books as a 16-year-old and 17-year-old and 18-year-old, as I was building my knowledge foundation, these books about how our body, one book called The Body Electric, how our cells communicate with electromagnetism, and our biological structure is organized by energy, an electromagnetic field. The researcher, Dr. Becker, found that, the way salamanders can regenerate a limb when it's chopped off amputated in an experiment is through electrical currents, which run through the wound site and sort of direct the path of healing. And mammals have this too. All animals have this sort of electromagnetic field around our body, which we don't see, of course, but it's there and sort of organizing cells. It's the answer to the unanswered biological question of how do all these cells, which have the same 23 chromosomes, know to become, for example, a nerve cell or a heart cell or a kidney cell or a skin cell or whatever. All of our cells have the same exact sets of DNA, and there was no really super strong answer in biology for how they differentiate. And so Becker's work showed this anyway. So I was reading these great books about light and energy, and it just started to make me think maybe that leads to a scientific foundation for all these spiritual concepts that have been spoken about. In fact, one of the authors of these books said maybe this new understanding we have could explain some of these phenomenon that have been observed throughout history that people said were just miracles or impossible. Things like spontaneous remission healing, things like telepathy, people communicating, the child gets hurt and the parents can feel it at a distance, or these things that have been reported over and over and over again, but nobody could explain them scientifically. So this whole electromagnetic understanding of life provided what looks like a potential way to understand those phenomena scientifically. And so for me, it became really interesting. And then I came across a bunch of, research, and in particular, a couple teachers talking about how you can, from a scientific perspective, you can use your awareness just in, for example, in meditation, direct your awareness towards different parts of your body. And by putting your attention on that part of your body, you're actually giving it your energy. Just like, for example, when you put your attention on social media, you're giving your attention away to the influencer or the ad algorithm or whatever, but you can actually put your attention inward. And that's when it started to click for me, all the things I had been studying, that we actually can cultivate our inner light. So by directing our attention inwards, and there's thousands of different meditation practices out there, and I'm not going to tell anybody what they should do, but whether you do mindfulness meditation or transcendental meditation or Joe Dispenza or Kriya Yoga or any, there's a ton of them, yoga, whatever, Tai Chi, but that we can empower ourselves with our own power. And I thought that was a really cool concept. And I've come to believe more and more, Dr. K, that a lot of health and healing really comes from building a strong mental concept and really positive beliefs and a sort of like I can attitude and mindset. And it sounds cliche because it almost is, but for me to have to see the connection between the science of light and electromagnetic energy and that our consciousness is energy and we can direct it where we want it to go, that was a pretty cool experience. And that's basically my overarching view of the concept of inner light and why it's significant.
I think it's so true. We are beings of energy, and like everything is electrical in our bodies, from our heart impulses to our brain conductivity. Like, I am so interested in learning more about electromagnetic frequencies, EMF, and how they're changing like our children's brains, and shouldn't use AirPods and all the things that I think are so true. I would love to do another podcast on that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think we have a lot to learn in terms of like the physics of the human body, and right, like,
Absolutely.
yeah, it's such an
Yeah, I'm
interesting.
it's great you put it that way, the physics, because people think of biology as its own science, but really biology isn't a fundamental science. It's how do we understand biology in the context of the laws of physics and the laws of chemistry and biophysics, and that's a really, really cool topic. So
Yeah. I think that's a time for a different podcast to do.
yeah.
Where can people find you this year? Are you going to any of the biohacking conferences? What do you like to
Yeah.
do?
Yeah. So my team and I were just in Austin, actually. Now this has passed, but there was a health optimization summit in April in Austin. There'll be another one sometime next year that hasn't been confirmed yet, but there's their traditional event was always in London, and they'll be in London in September. I believe it's the 14th and 15th. It's the second weekend of September. So people can come and meet me and the team. in London at the Health Optimization Summit. It's a great event organized by a great friend of mine, and it's one of the top health and wellness events in the whole world now, particularly in Europe, but globally as well. So Health Optimization in London. And if people want to come even sooner, in just 3 weeks, we're going to be in Tallinn, Estonia, at what's called the HoloLife Summit. It used to be called the Biohacker Summit. They've done a bit of a rebrand, but it's a phenomenal event. Great speakers. I'll be speaking there. Great companies as well. Great people. Really alternative, really open-minded kind of crowd. So that's another event that I'd highly recommend. HoloLife, HOLO Life Summit. And then that's the gist of it. People can find us online at my company is Ra, that's RA, like the Egyptian god of sunlight, raoptics.com. And people can find me on social media, on Instagram in particular, at The Light Diet. So that is the where people can find us.
Well, this has been amazing. It's always a pleasure to touch base with you and get updated on all the interesting thoughts that you're and the science that you're really researching a lot. It's very different from what we learn in modern medicine and aesthetics and dermatology. So I love putting that perspective out there. I'm sure there'll be people that'll telling me the exact opposite, but I want to learn more because I think we really don't know enough about the how
Yeah.
light works in the human body.
I'll introduce you to my our scientific advisor, chief scientific officer from my company, this German expert, because he'll be able to really help break it down for you even further when it comes to UVA and UVB and what's good and what's bad and how much you should get and how much you shouldn't. So I'll be glad to make that connection. I'm sure you'll enjoy picking his brain, and I'd be glad to speak any more time anytime. And I just appreciate you being so interested and sincerely curious. I think it's so needed in medicine.
Love it. Well, I'm going to send you some of my mineral sunscreen because that's at least you'll have that for when you
Amazing.
are getting, because you are, you're fair and you might get some sunburning. So you'll love
Oh,
that one.
yeah.
It's one of my favorites. But that's it for now,
Thank you.
guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, Beauty by Dr. K, drkay.com. And that's where you can find our amazing mineral sunscreen. I am truly, like Matt said, a believer only in mineral sunscreens. But I hope you'll check out Raw Optics and learn more about how light is so important for the human body, all the spectrums, not just filtering them, but giving us the exposures we need to just live our best lives. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful. Aww.